it's a compilation of nice pictures, good pictures, and some magic moments. You know, like as I'm just looking here, and I see in front of me back in September 1984, there's a picture there on page 52 that I took at a match, and it's not all my pictures. It's some of it go back to even before my time. We acquired many years ago. We acquired what was known as the Connolly collection from the late Jim Connolly, and there's pictures that I'm just looking through. 1958 nearly is the start of it. So I was only a young fool in short trousers in 1958, but the picture I'm talking about, Gardaí in a riot on the terraces in Dalymun Park, yes, in September 84, and the page opposite it is February 1985, when the Republic of Ireland played Italy, and there were only 1,600 tickets issued for the game, and there's a lot of them up on what used to be known as the Shed in Dalymun Park. The Shed, yeah, by the way, yeah, was only dismantled there about a month or two ago. So it was there pre-1985, and there's lads standing up on the top of it, and there's a packed terrace, and as I say, there's 20 or 30 people above on the Shed, you know. So, like, there's a lot of older moments, you know. Like, I remember Kieran Fitzgerald, he was the Irish captain, and he was also the aide-de-camp to President Hillary, and we photographed him one day outside Áras an Uachtaráin. And I'd also outline, I suppose, that there are many pictures, you know, right up to the last picture in the book from August this year, when Brendan Morden took Natalia Kyle carrying the flag at the Olympics, you know. So it's a broad selection. To describe it as great moments is probably a little strange, but there are many, many great moments. It's not just the great moments, it's a kind of a memory or collection of good pictures / great moments.
And that's the thing about photography, I suppose, is that it can, you know, unlock these memories and, you know, sort of bring these images to mind of, you know, sporting events that we may have forgotten about in the past. And as you mentioned, it goes right up to the 1950s. So you've got, you know, pictures of Ronnie Delaney when he's in his prime, right up until this year's Olympics. But so you set up a sports file in the early 80s. But just tell us about your own journey in sports photography. How did you first get involved?
It probably started one night in the dog track in Harold's Cross. I'm from Harold's Cross in Dublin, and the dog track was only 500 yards away. And as a pastime in the evenings, myself and a neighbour used to pop over to the dogs, and we'd be betting in what was then shillings and 2 shillings and 2 and 6. That's about 3 or 4 new p at this stage, you know, or 3 or 4 cent. But anyway, that's what we used to bet in. And one night, my pal's dad, the late Pat McGrath, said that such and such a dog in the fifth race, you know, number 4 in the fifth race, will probably win here. He's up from Longford, and they have him well trained, and he's well fit. And so we looked at the race card, and if you looked at the race card now as an outsider, you could probably let this lad off the lead and run away from him. He was that slow, you know, but he was primed up anyway and ready to run, and we backed him for a few shillings and pence or whatever we had at the time, and he won pulling up. He won by half the track, and I won £53 that night, and I bought a camera for £49.95 the next Saturday. And that camera, I suppose, if you were buying it today, it'd be 1,500 or 2 grand. So you can imagine the value of what £49 was back some 40 or 45 years ago. And then I just went out taking pictures, and I didn't do any college or I didn't do any of that sort of thing. I joined with the late, great Jim O'Kelly, and we set up a business, and we said we'd target sports as a business and try and get good quality pictures of individuals. So that's why it was known as Sports File. It was a file of sports pictures, really. Nowadays we do, obviously, live events, and we do everything Olympics, and we do boxing and rugby and soccer and Gaelic and here, there and everywhere. But at the time, our interest was primarily Gaelic games and rugby, and then we just grew from there. Unfortunately, as I say, poor old Jim, this big photographer now in the sky, but he's long gone from us. But he was one of the biggest motivators in getting the thing going. And when he departed, we kept going, and now we are here where we are, and we have fellas all around, going all around the world. you know, giant sports file to see the world nearly is the motto at this stage.
Brilliant, absolutely. And it is, you know, it's an iconic part of Irish life now as well, because you can't pick up a newspaper without seeing some sort of sports file photo, or, you know, it's all over on Twitter and that kind of stuff. And just tell us a bit about the early days then, because nowadays we all think we're kind of pro photographers because we have a phone in our hands and, you know, the phone basically does all the work for us and we just click go, like, you know. But in those days, you know, you had to use film, and I suppose there was a bit more pressure on photographers then because you had to, you know, make every shot count.
Yes and no, and I'm pleased that you say that, you know, you see sports file here, there and everywhere. I don't particularly see it that, but I get a good kick out of it when people say, you know, the sports file is a well-recognized brand, let's say. But back in the day, as you ask, we used to shoot film, and film at the time had 36 exposures, so you were limited to 36 shots. Nowadays you have a disc and it has 100 gigabytes or 200 gigabytes, and that equals to about 10 million or trillion or whatever. It's like talking about NAMA here, you know, it's trillions of photographs or millions of photographs. But at a time, and by the way, my predecessor shot when they only had two pictures on a sheet of film.
Yeah.
We were working with 24 or 36. So every time you did a set of pictures, the maximum number you could do was 36, and then you had to change your roll. So if you ended up doing 10 rolls in a match, say an All-Ireland final, you might do 10 or 12 rolls. So you had 360 to 400 images. Now you'd have that many pictures shot before the match would even start. But 36 shots, rather, you maybe had 10 rolls of film, you had to come back and you had to process it. And then you actually had to print the pictures, and then you had to hand deliver them down to the local newspapers. Albeit, we did more preview, so the newspapers at the time would have had their own photographers, so their own photographers went back and done up their prints for the next day's paper. What we made the market was that we identified good single shots of popular players, so we used to try and sell them in advance of their next match. So we used to preview more than we used to review. Now the newspapers, unfortunately, don't have their own staff photographers, particularly in the sports. They do have many news people, but not in the sports section per se. And because we have filled that gap. And thankfully, we did specialise in sport, because I believe that some of the news sectors, not all of them, and I'm not particularly generalising here, but, you know, the fire brigade man has a camera phone now, and when he arrives at the fire, he'll take a picture and put it out on Twitter, and the next thing, it's been used everywhere.
Mm.
You know, the next door neighbor has a phone, and he comes across something and he takes a picture and puts it out on Twitter, and then the papers are asking, you know, can we use this picture? Thankfully, in sport, you can bring your iPhone, but you're not going to get the fella scoring the goal to win the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the difference. That's the big difference for us, is that, you know, we would have fellas who would be well trained and would have a good eye, and, you know, you need all of that.
Yeah, and I guess technology has allowed that to come on, and I guess it's kind of evened the playing field. As we've already mentioned, we all have phones now, we can all take pictures, but I guess your expertise is what sets you apart, and, you know, you can see things before they happen. Do you have to have that, an insight into the game?
You'd have to have a reasonable knowledge of the sport that you're at. A nominal knowledge. You wouldn't have to know the greater ins and outs of it, but, like, when I'm looking through it, I just have a little small sort of a, well, not so much a pinhole, but maybe this little bit bigger than the size of your thumb. So I see a game through that little hole, and I'm looking at a screen that's about an inch by an inch, and there's no action replays. You either get it or you don't get it. And sometimes you have to anticipate, you know, the guy running through, is he going to go for goal himself, or is he going to pass it over to the other guy who's going to hit it into the goal? So there's an element of that, and most importantly, there's no action replay. That's the big issue. There is no replay. If you miss it, you missed it.
Yeah.
And despite what you see in the paper and say, oh, that's a fantastic shot, yes, but the same person probably missed five other important shots, but as it happened, they got that one. So to quote a famous golfer, you know, the more you practice, the luckier you get.
Yeah, that's true as well, I suppose. And I think what's brilliant about this book is just the sheer range of sports that's covered in it, because, you know, as you mentioned, you already have kind of books on Gaelic games and rugby and that kind of thing, and it would be easy to kind of stick to those sports because we have some of those images in our mind already. But you know, you look into this book, you've got Olympic sports, there's Paralympics, there's athletics, there's boxing, there's all those kind of sports that the casual sports fan might miss. And I guess Sportsfile is great in that it kind of shines a light on these sports that probably don't get as much coverage.
I've been a reasonable supporter of Special Olympics over the last number of last 20 or 30 years or whatever. And on page 139 is a picture from Athens in 2011 where a couple of the 4x100 medal, silver medal winners are. But like, it's literally, it's just a picture of four athletes saying, yippee, we won. But it, I hope it comes across the enthusiasm and the fascination the likes of these Special Olympics athletes, and by the way, it applies in all athletes. All athletes love to win, but the Special Olympics athletes particularly have a particular joy in winning. And you know, but if you see the picture, like there's four athletes, one big tall young fella and two girls and another lad in it, but the joy that's in the picture, you know, that's the thing for me. That's not sort of the greatest moment in Irish sport, but I can assure you that for Martin and Timothy and Eileen and Kira from Aina and County Clare, I can tell you that is their Olympic Games. They've just won a silver medal in a 4x100 meters, and that to them is the be all and end all. You know, like if you turn to the last page, you see Natalia Coyle carrying the flag, as I said earlier, Brendan Morden's picture, you know. But everybody, like, there's another picture by Ramsay Cardy in 28th of July 2021. Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry exchange a handshake after playing in the Tokyo Olympics. Like, you ask Shane Lowry, was that a magic moment? That was one of the biggest moments in his career, you know, to be able to represent his country.
It'll unlock a lot of memories for people as well, you know, memories of Croke Park and memories of Ronnie Delaney and right up until present day as well. And it's providing such a brilliant service to people. And I know you probably don't remember every single image in the book, but is there any one particular image that stands out to you or one that you've taken in your career that you're particularly proud of?
That's like saying which of my two grandchildren is the nicest, you know, or the best. Even as I flick through it, like, you know, there's many moments like that I could say. I wouldn't say it's ideally the best one, but like, it comes to mind here, say on page 61 as I flick through, because Charlie O'Leary and Ray Houghton celebrating after defeating England on the 12th of June 1988, like, that was some magic day. You know, who put the ball in the England net? That was a magic day. I look back at it, the day we were in Malta, there was a picture there of Kevin Morden and Paul McGrath. That was another magic day. Like, if we scored in Malta, if I recall correctly, John Aldridge scored a goal, and that was a phenomenal day. You know, that was a fantastic day. But I think of them more as the day that was in it rather than necessarily, you know, the actual picture. You know, like, I remember being in the Heysel Stadium and Ireland, did they draw 2-2 or something like that? Liam Brady got a goal in the last seconds or the last from a penalty spot. That reminds me of a great occasion, you know, whether it made a great photograph or not, you know, it's hard to say. They're memories that are great to have, and I believe that they're reflected perhaps correctly. You know, I was maybe critical earlier in this interview that maybe it shouldn't be called, but perhaps it's right to call it great moments in Irish sport. That's what it is, great moments.